KGO 810.
Tune in and hang on. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
All right, here we go.
Here we go in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Quiet!
Incoming message.
Hey, what are you doing here? About to go on the air?
Thank God it's Friday.
It is Friday, right?
It's the best day of my life.
Wake up!
Wake up!
You want to know an ideal Friday in my world?
Thank God it's Friday.
We got a big broadcast to do here.
What are we waiting for? To the airwaves.
One more thing.
Oh. It's showtime.
And away we super duper stupor go.
The build up to the Super Bowl now in full swing.
Excited about the Super Bowl, huh?
Everyone's getting pumped up for the Super Bowl.
When you think of Super Bowl party foods, it's things like chili, sliders, wings.
I feel like I have a good understanding of the significance of playing in the 50th Super Bowl.
Truth of the matter is, you don't win a Super Bowl until you're in the Super Bowl.
Then there's that. We're going to have so much fun tonight. A montage of the whole world talking about us.
I'm sure you're aware the Super Bowl is on Sunday. If you're a chicken, you have just a few days to say goodbye to those delicious wings. Super Bowl 50, the Broncos versus the Panthers. According to Forbes magazine, the average price for a Super Bowl ticket this year is $5,160.49. Which the only people who can afford to go to the Super Bowl are the guys playing in the Super Bowl.
There is a new Super Bowl ad. It features singing choirs of children and adults who were born 9 months after their local teams won a Super Bowl. The idea being that their parents were so excited by their team's victory that right after the game ended, they put one through the uprights.
Sounds like someone's getting ready to have a pretty crazy Super Bowl party.
We are, and it's on the center of the universe in downtown San Francisco. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show, live and local and around the bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. Take a deep breath. 2 days away. And if you commute in and out of the city, breathe that deep sigh of relief. It's almost over.
But it is really now. We did the work week.
We did
the
it.
The work week's
Two
done.
2 weeks. I know. And it wasn't.
Come Monday.
It's.
Yeah. They'll all be behind us. Well, they have to tear this stuff down, but
it's just time
mayhem.
To have. Yeah, I know. It's just time to have the party. So some top tips for having a great Super Bowl Sunday. I came up with a couple of them. If anyone sings the annoying tune of the nationwide jingle, kick them in the teeth immediately. Number one on my list. Take vodka shots whenever
I'm going to aim a little lower, but okay.
Okay. This is a good one. Take vodka shots whenever Cam Newton pisses off your racist grandpa. Just keep reminding yourself the Patriots or the 49ers did not make it. The Patriots thing's really for the rest of the country. Don't listen to your kids when they tell you you're too damn old to do the, and you're too damn white to do the dab. You know what? And I hope you know what the dab is. It's a pot reference. Just saying.
Well, we've only been talking about it all week.
I know. If a player pulls a groin, try to avoid loudly praying for a close-up. Oh, you know you do. You and your spouse role play as Tom Brady and Bill Belichick watching the game from a private hot tub in the Poconos. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Role play that, baby. Bask in the knowledge that you're about to find out what God's favorite football team is.
There you go.
And turn away during Lady Gaga close-ups. Oh, now, that's not very nice of me. And by the way, order 15 Domino's pizzas to Peyton Manning's house. Yeah, you could do that. It's a thing
charges.
That's trending.
Oh, God.
I don't know if you know his address, but I can't say. All right. Let's see here. So many fun things. David Bowie, we were talking about our favorite commercials, and I think mine and visually this new Audi is just, I don't know. I'm a car guy. Yeah, I'm down with Elon, and I want a Tesla, but the new Audi is fantastic, and it features David Bowie's Starman, one of my favorite commercials.
Mr. President, thank you for choosing the moon.
Now we're approaching our lunar sunrise. Oh, this view is magnificent.
This has to be the proudest day of our lives.
Not hungry, huh?
Okay, Commander. Come with me.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Lift off. We have liftoff. Ah, so good. And by the way, David Bowie, big, big thing going on at the Grammys this year, just to get off the Super Bowl for a second. There's going to be a big tribute, and we'll talk about that later in the show in the late night, late show wrap-up. Have you picked a team yet? Because everybody's taking sides. I just heard, Nikki is taking the Panthers. Brett's taking the Broncos. I haven't decided.
Just for kicks or because you really think they'll win?
Well, you got to pick one. Who'd you pick?
I did pick the Panthers earlier in the week once I finally figured out what was going on, who was playing and stuff like that.
Based on the dab dance?
Kind of that. I really like Cam Newton.
So do I.
He's just, how could you not? He's charming. He sucks you in. And then there's old school people who are like, but it's Peyton's year. Kind of like he's, Helen Mirren and it's time she got an Oscar already or something like that. And I'm like, that'd be nice if his career ended on a happy note. But, man, I love the youth and the gusto of Cam Newton.
I do, too. So I think I'm for the Panthers. But I'm cool with it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just been a hella crazy week. In a good way, turns out. It's not the nightmare that we thought it would be. I'm just saying.
Just for us personally,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And it's so fun.
It is fun.
I love meeting people from all over. I met some people at lunch today. You know what? They were going to get engaged. The guy was going to ask her to marry him on Valentine's Day, but they were at the Golden Gate Bridge this morning, and it was so beautiful, and he had the ring on him that he just popped the question then. So they were celebrating lunch just a few seats over from us. You're like, this is so much excitement in the air.
Lovely. I love it. Love is in the air. So is betting. And, if you were listening to the tease that I did about 20 minutes ago with Brett and Nikki, why the hell, where's the Super Bowl pool here? Come on.
Whose job is it to organize that?
I don't know, but Cumulus is like, Las Vegas West. Come on, man.
Angela got us together for the Powerball thing, so I'm going to blame her. She fell asleep on the job, our news director.
We were so disgusted we didn't walk away with $1.5 billion that we're just not down with betting. But I'm going to help you people. So now if you're going to do the Super Bowl party thing, then somebody's definitely going to propose the squares pool, all right? So scientifically, there is a study that was done. That's where you pay to get a square on a board. It comes down to two numbers. If those numbers are the last digits of the team's final score, you win the pot. Like if the final number is 13-10 and you have the square with a 3 and a 0, you're the winner.
Oh.
Okay? Get it?
Sure.
13 and 10, 3 and 0. Okay, last digits. So this study looked at the best numbers to get based on the final score of the past decade of the Super Bowl. Mm. Are you ready? Here they come. 0, obviously, okay, I think, and they are in this order. 0, 7, uh-huh. 4, 3, 1, 6, 5, 9, and 2. Okay, you're welcome. Now you're going to say, well, Drex, I'm never going to remember those. So you can, when you go home or whatever you're doing, you hit at Generation Drex on Twitter and I posted them.
Okay.
And I put Ada on there twice, but you know, I'm just, I'm frazzled.
It's fairly easy
I'm frazzled.
To figure out. I mean, because a touchdown with a field goal is 7, and I don't know. It does seem like 0, 7, what was it, 3, 4 would be the
0, 7, 4, 3, 1, 6, 8, 5, 9, 2. So, you know, you can remember four numbers, 0, 7, 4, 3. There you go. 0743.
Aim for those. Get there early and pick those squares.
I mean, if you're not in the Twitterverse, and I don't know why you wouldn't be, but you should be following me at Generation Drex, D-R-E-X anyway. They're all posted there. Like I said, I posted 8 twice, but I'm a little frantic.
You'll get it.
It's a super duper bowl. Okay, let's take a break and we'll be back. And coming up, Johnny Fun Cheap. We'll find out what's going on. Well, we know what's going on, but we want to find out the Johnny Fun Cheap stuff that's going on, you know, as in free. And then we'll get to Tim Sica with the brand new movies breaking for the weekend. Good stuff on the way on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. Let's take a look at traffic with Lee Graham in the KGO Traffic Center.
Now more of the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
The Super Bowl's on Sunday. Denver Broncos will play the Carolina Panthers. Between the Super Bowl and this new O.J. Simpson show, this has been a very big week for Broncos. But the Super Bowl is... Thank you. Most important sporting event of the year. It's also a disappointingly short Beyonce concert. Beyonce is doing the halftime show with Coldplay. Lady Gaga is going to sing the national anthem, which is weird. I wonder if Francis Scott Key ever thought, you know, someday this song will be sung by a woman wearing a dress made of beef.
And little do the people know who are paying. Yeah, by the way, the Super Bowl has the most expensive ticket in any sporting event in history. We'll get to that in a second. But little do they know, you know, Lady Gaga was rehearsing today in red, in a sparkly red, I don't know, what would you call that? That suit. That's like a pantsuit kind of thing or something. I don't know. Not a Hillary.
Hillary Clinton approved.
Don't think Hillary. Think Gaga.
But like a onesie.
Yeah, like a onesie.
Sure, a halter.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah, all good. Love her, but yeah. And then I was thinking, you know, the people who did pay, Super Bowl now has the most expensive ticket of any sporting event in U.S. history. One ticket is now selling for an average of $4,957. The old record was the Mayweather-Pacquiao boxing match back in May, where tickets were $4,600. Okay. So, but you know, so those people that are spending $10,000 for a pair of tickets sitting in the sun on Sunday, that meat dress would be great because they could be grilling up there. I'm just saying, they don't know Levi's Stadium, where they say it's 70, those people in the sun, it'll be 110. So sit there and melt. That's how we get even, the little peeps. The little peeps in the world.
That was a long walk to that joke.
I know, but it wasn't a joke. I'm having fun with it. Okay, let's bring on Johnny Funcheap. Johnny, good evening.
Speaking of expensive tickets,
yes,
let's do really fun-ass stuff for free.
Yeah, there you have it. Yeah, since we can't go.
Well, we've been talking about Super Bowl a lot and all the big expensive Super Bowl parties and the fun ways to watch the Super Bowl. And today I wanted to focus on what you can do Sunday if you wanted to avoid the Super Bowl completely. Just say it never happened. It doesn't exist. I don't care about football.
Okay.
And so there are people that are
doing that, yes.
Yeah, bring it on. Because, we live in the best place on earth.
Yeah, it's kind of like an alternative holiday where you can go to a lot of places that are going to be completely empty because everybody's inside watching the game.
Wow.
One of the cool things you can do, there's a ton of free museum days on Sunday.
Oh.
The Asian Art Museum in San Francisco is going to be free. The Oakland Museum of California is free. The California Academy of Sciences is totally free on Sunday as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a good deal. Listen, that museum has gotten up to like $40, right?
Yeah, I think it's worth it. I think it's an amazing place, but
yeah.
I'd take free over 40 any day.
Totally.
And then there's a couple of other museum deals that there's a little bit of a hitch to. You have to have a Bank of America card, whether it's a credit card or a debit card. It doesn't matter. And there's a whole slew of museums you can go for free. You just show your card at the door. They won't run it through. They won't charge you anything, and they'll just let you in. Museums like the De Young and the Legion of Honor in San Francisco, the Chabot Space Center, and in the South Bay, the San Jose Museum of Art and the Tech Museum of Innovation. So those ones are all free if you have your B of A card. And there's one other cool thing that you can do this weekend on Sunday if you have a Chase United Mileage Plus card, which I do not have and I wish I did for this weekend. At the Westfield Center in San Francisco, they have a VIP lounge that's set up on Super Bowl Sunday where you can go in if you show your Chase United Plus card. And you get free snacks, free beverage. They have flat screen TVs and free Wi-Fi. And you can just totally relax in the Westfield Mall for free, away from all the hordes, away from everybody watching the game. And you just need to have a credit card.
That's fantastic. Do you want to borrow my card? I totally have a United Mileage Plus card.
Yeah, that's good stuff because, you know, not everybody's into football. And you're right. I mean, what you couldn't pick a more perfect time to roll around to these places.
Yeah. And actually, here's kind of a cheating one. This is a Super Bowl game watch, but it's kind of a trick. There's these people that are doing a game watch on top of Mount Diablo.
Oh.
And what they mean is they're going to bike ride up to Mount Diablo on Sunday morning and watch the game, but live from 36 miles away, where you can kind of, if you had really, really good Superman vision, you could kind of see into Levi's Stadium.
Right, and see the meat dress.
Right, and save yourself 10 grand, yes.
Yeah, it's just an excuse for going outside. One of the other things that's happening on Sunday is San Francisco City Guides is putting together 14 free history walks in San Francisco, a bunch of different neighborhoods. You can walk across the Golden Gate Bridge and hear all about that, go to the Castro, hear tales of the village, Victorian San Francisco, all of that's free. And, God, what else do we have? Oh, around Lake Merritt, they're doing the Great Winter Backyard Bird Count. So you can go and have a nice day in nature, forget the football's even happening, count birds, don't count Broncos or Panthers, and you'll have a fun morning around Lake Merritt.
That's really good stuff, Johnny, because, yes, I mean, you are so right on. Now would be the time to do some of these local things that you usually don't get to because the rest of the world is there.
Right.
And they won't be on Sunday.
Those museum things are a slamming bargain. That's huge. And then you can expect that even though it's free, there'll be fewer people there because a lot of people will be caught up in the game. That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's really good. All right, Johnny Funcheap, you're the best. Thank you very much. And we'll talk to you in a week.
Fantastic. Bye-bye.
So what's Johnny Funcheap going to do, though?
Yeah, Johnny, what are you going to be doing? Oh,
we lost him. Oh, well, we'll ask him next week.
He's off on that bike ride. You start now. I would have to start now. Just saying.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, baby steps. You had surgery a while ago.
Yeah, right. All right, let's do our break, and then we'll be back, and we're going to be talking about the new movies. Now, you know, the Coen Brothers movie is out.
I'm so excited to hear about this.
Yes, I am. So I want to hear about it, too. Josh Brolin and George Clooney, they've been pimping this big time, Hail Caesar, and it's a Coen Brothers movie. It's a comedy. And I am curious.
You're a little skeptical. You've been given the ads for it, the side eye, like, I don't know, that could go off the rails. And I'm like, I think it looks awesome.
Well, Tim Seek is our man from the San Francisco Film Critics Circle, and we'll discuss and chat with him. Also, there's another movie, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Yes.
Which one to wait for DVD? Well, we'll see what Tim says.
We'll see. That's coming up on the Drex Radio Show, along with more Super Bowl, Super Duper, on the way on KGO 810.
The Drex Radio Show continues. I'm John Lobertini, KGO 810.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Timothy. Well, you know you're a big shot. At KGO, when you have your own song. Tim Seeca from the San Francisco Film Critics Circle is my guest. Tim, I want to take a quick call. Somebody wants to rail on the Super Bowl for a second here.
All righty,
okay,
sure.
Yeah.
Paulette in Bay Point, go ahead, you're on the air.
Paulette, good evening.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'd like to ask you a question. How come they don't have the game on the Saturday? That way it'd make it a lot easier for a lot of people for Monday morning still on the set. Still on a Sunday, that way everybody can get up and go to work legal. And on Sunday, the moms can still take the kids to church on a Sunday.
Okay, Paulette, you're preaching to the choir. Let me tell you, you called the right show. Thank you very much, Lord. I've been railing on this for the last 25 years. Yes, it should be Super Bowl Saturday. NFL, are you listening to me? Just think of the productivity level that isn't happening on Monday because it's the biggest hangover day of the year.
Totally. With Super Bowl Sunday, you have biggest hangover Monday.
Yes, it's Super Bowl Sunday. That's what I've been saying for eons. So I'm totally with you, Paulette. Yeah, the church thing too, but especially for fun reasons, it should be Saturday. Okay, thank you very much. All right.
Glad I got that. From your lips to Roger Goodell's ears.
Yes, get with the program. All right. Tim Seeca, thank you for joining me. And just a quick piece here from Conan talking about Hail Caesar.
The scene didn't exist before we started the movie, and I said to the Coens, who I've known for quite a long time now, I said, look, every woman where George has said forever, I'm a single man and I'll never get married, so any woman that's ever reacted to that negatively, and any man who's ever reacted to him because he's so good-looking, all those people throughout his career that have wanted to slap him, I thought, can I do it in this movie?
Josh Brolin, who slaps George Clooney in Hail Caesar. So I've been dying. You know, this is a Coen Brothers movie. It's a big thing. And, you know, Clooney and Brolin, they've been all over the place pimping it. What do you think?
Well, you know, I really like the film. I don't know who I would recommend it to, except for maybe fans of the Coen Brothers and maybe students of movie history. But it's their affectionate salute to movie making, you know, the business of movies, the politics of movies, the art of movies, and the celebration of movies is probably the most popular and entertaining method of storytelling. It's an accurate historical recreation of 50s Hollywood. It's set during the waning days of the studio era, the studio system, and it actually shows you how movies were made, how studios had under contract, took care of and protected their stable of stars. Josh Brolin is great in this movie. He plays this character called Eddie Mannix, who basically controls the studio. The name of the studio in the film is called Capital Pictures. He's called the head of physical local production. And he oversees everything from the production schedules to the publicity, every facet of the studio's inner workings, you know, which exists solely to create this dream world, this Hollywood illusion, this machine called the movies. And he always seems to be putting out fires. Anyway, the film takes affectionate jabs at Hollywood in the 50s, the making of spectacular biblical epics like Ben-Hur. You know, the movie is sort of a play on Ben-Hur. It's called Hail Caesar with an exclamation point, A Tale of the Christ. So, yeah, really. And you know, it pokes fun at the light technicolor pastiches of Esther Williams, that lady who made all those swimming pool movies for MGM, like The Million Dollar Mermaid, The Blacklist, communism, musicals like On the Town, here parodied with Channing Tatum singing and dancing with a bunch of sailors in this movie.
Oh, I just saw the sailors, yeah, go by. I was watching
the
trailer.
And it satirizes all of that, the Hollywood gossip columnists of the day, like Hedda Hopper and Luella Parsons. It captures the feel of a studio's backlot when it was in its heyday, when it was still going strong but just beginning to fade and show signs of diminishment with the oncoming threat of television. Mm. But yeah, I loved it, but it's funny. The screening that I went to, there was an average Joe who popped up at the screening, and afterwards, when the credits came up, he stood up with his wife and he just said, "That was horrible." It's funny. Yeah, it is, but it's the narrative is mildly amusing if you know the history and you know all this backstory of how this movie was written and created and everything. It's funnier because you have like a reference point. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays. It's got the big stars like Clooney in it.
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson is great. There's a young actor named Alden Aaron Reich who plays a cowboy star named Hobie Doyle. He's the star of these Western odors like Lazy Old Moon, I think it's called in the movie. But anyway, because the studio can't find anybody else to play this part, he becomes miscast in this English comedy of manners movie directed by this Laurence Olivier type of director played by Ralph Fiennes. And there's this hysterically funny back and forth dialogue scene. It's as in the trailer where Lawrence is the name of the director. He's trying to direct this very Texas sounding cowboy star in the reading of a line, which he just can't wrap his mouth around because of his thick Texas accent. I think would that it were so simple was the line, which in the final cut becomes it's complicated because the guy could never even remotely, put his tongue around it. But it's the movie is really, really funny. I really liked it. If you like just movies in general, I think you'll find a lot in the film to latch onto.
Well, so. I think you nailed it. So if you go in knowing that you're looking at behind the scenes, the studio lot from the 50s in that era that you spoke to, then you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and Eddie Mannix was actually this real guy. He was the general manager of MGM, and he worked with this guy called Howard Strickling, who was head of publicity for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios.
Right.
The character here is obviously a composite, but Strickling lorded over all the stars during the Golden Age, like Garbo and Dietrich and Gable and Judy Garland. He was the one that if the stars found themselves in trouble, it was both him and Eddie Mannix who took care of the stars, you know, solved their problems, they hid their crimes.
Oh, sure.
Kept
all
their
right.
secrets.
Yeah, their sexuality, this, that.
Yeah, all that. Oh, yeah, that. Right.
The shenanigans.
So they were,
right.
There was a book called Fixers. The Fixers, which went into that. But yeah, I mean, I loved it. I know this is meaningless because it's so early in the year, but it's probably my favorite film of the year so far. I know it's only February, but it's going to be interesting to see how it holds up as the year's releases pile up.
Well, let me play the audio from the trailer. We have a brief one here. Let's see.
Here at Capitol Pictures, as you know, millions of people left us for information and uplift and, yes, entertainment. And we're going to give it to them.
And action.
Biggest release of the year. Hail Caesar is a prestige picture with one of the biggest stars in the world, Baird Whitlock.
The director can't find Baird Whitlock.
We have your movie star. Gather $100,000 and await instructions. Who are we? The future.
So it's a lot of fun, and you now that you know what it is going in, if it sounds like it rings your bell, then you're going to love it.
Absolutely. I could not have said it any better.
All right. Let's talk about Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies coming up on the other side here.
Because, oh, my gosh. Yeah, what an idea for a movie, right?
Right,
A mashup of Jane Austen and the undead, you know, which makes you wonder how much time people have on their hands. No, that's uncharitable. Actually, the idea is... I think it's a kind of a cool idea. It's one out of the box. It gets props from me right there, you know, to take Pride and Prejudice and several of the characters of Pride and Prejudice and that time period and the setting and throw in zombies who are trying to take over the living. It sounds so ridiculous that it's potentially intriguing. I guess you would call this a sort of comedy horror type movie. It's based on the 2009 novel that, in fact, parodies the 1813 Jane Austen British novel. And there are moments in the film which work sort of at the level of humor. You have all these frou-frou settings and these very British, you know, mannered actors and behavior and haughtiness played a kind of a bit tongue-in-cheek, juxtaposed with lines like... daughters do not dance well with masticated brains.
Oh, you know what? Hold on here one second. I'm up against a hard break here, but I'm going to play a piece from the trailer coming up here in a minute. We'll continue our conversation.
Okay.
With Tim Sika in just a minute. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. And right now, Julie Andrews. Oh, one of Tim's favorites. I know.
Yes.
I love it. Hey, I'm going to play a cut here from Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Okay.
Right. And it stars Lily James from Downton Abbey and Sam Riley, right, from Maleficent. Okay, let's take a listen here.
Right.
It began with the Black Plague. Within weeks, the dead began to rise, hunting for human flesh. Now, the few of us that are left have only one way to survive. We must bring the fight to them.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. So,
right. I think that same character at some point she says she's giving one of the Bennett sisters some advice, and she says something about, she says, zombies or no zombies, the right woman must think of marriage. You know, this movie's entertaining if you're in the right frame of mind, I suppose, like the frame of mind being I'll try anything or I'll watch anything, because tonally it's all over the map. The best parts are the wink-wink stuff where the filmmakers are obviously making sort of healthy fun of the Jane Austen characters. You know, the Bennett sisters in this version have all been trained by their father in the art of martial arts and weaponry. I think that there was another line where one of the proper British ladies says a woman is either highly trained or highly refined. And that's kind of funny, but it's just, it's an odd duck, you know.
Was this a book first?
Yeah, it was it was a 2009 novel that apparently was a bestseller and caught on. Maybe it reads better than it films.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to dismiss it completely because the zombie sequences are pretty terrifying. It's just, it's weird. It's very odd. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds cool. Like it. And you'd have to really get Jane Austen to get all the references, I'm assuming.
Yeah, exactly.
And be
exactly.
Into zombies.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's
right.
A little too niche for most
that's
people.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
All right.
Very niche.
Okay.
Yeah. A bit of a stretch. All right, so for fun, I thought I'd run by you, since you're Mr. All Things Film, Tim Sika. This is a list of the worst Best Picture winners. All right, so they won the Oscar, but who should have won instead? So you tell me if you agree. Number one, Shakespeare in Love won Best Picture in 1998. Should have won Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. You know, Shakespeare in Love, yeah, it's funny. If you do research and you go back to the time that a film won a Best Picture Oscar, because Oscars are just sort of a snapshot in time anyway, it kind of makes sense that Shakespeare in Love won because... it had this incredible publicity force behind it. The Weinstein Company just went ape in getting it to Academy members. And kind of at the last moment, it usurped what probably should have won, and which I think is a much better film, Saving Private Ryan.
Private Ryan.
I think it should have been Saving Private Ryan.
Okay, let's go to 2005. Crash won, should have won, Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, I think Brokeback Mountain should have won, too, just because it was, you know, it was an out-of-the-box movie that, you know, we hadn't seen before. It was a serious drama. Crash was kind of a movie that I think, made a lot of Hollywood liberals feel that they weren't the ones that were prejudiced. It was everybody else.
Yeah, now, I didn't like it, but Brokeback Mountain, and not because of what it was just a great film that still stands up today, even though, you know,
it
was...
And it broke some ground.
Right, 11 years ago. Okay, so then let's move to 1990. Dances with Wolves won, which I thought was a great film,
yeah.
but should have won probably Goodfellas.
Oh, God.
I know that's a tough one, right?
Yeah. Well, I would say in terms of just sheer cinematic artistry, it probably should have been Goodfellas. But Dances with Wolves, I mean, that movie, I love that movie. I could watch that movie over and over. It was so emotional. It was so beautiful. Had great acting. It was a great story. The music in that movie was beautiful. I could see why Dances with Wolves won. It probably just, you know, it just captured more voters in the end because of the emotional appeal. Goodfellas was a dark, nasty movie that probably lost out in the end because of that.
But it's kind of classic. Okay, then in 2010, The King's Speech won. This list said should have won The Social Network.
It's funny because my group, the San Francisco Film Critics Circle, picked The Social Network instead of the King's Speech, which was what I was voting for and which I rooted for. And it's only because the King's – I think The Social Network is going to be forgotten. The King's Speech is a movie that more people seem to talk about. It's a more deceptively simple movie, but I was in a position where I had to wind up – I did a lot of Q&As for that film, and I wound up seeing it four times, I think, or five times.
It was so good. It was one of those movies you could watch over and over, right?
Yeah, it was, and it was a movie that was deceptively simple. A lot of thought went into all the shot placements and the performances. It really was a great movie, and I think King's Speech deserved it.
I think so, too. And I think when I think of that film, and I love it so much, I could watch it again, and I look at it as a masterpiece.
Yeah, you know? I agree with you, Drex. I totally, yep. Yeah.
Okay, 1997, Titanic won, should have won, L.A. Confidential.
Ooh, I hate these things.
choices.
I know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? As a best picture, I would probably say Titanic deserved it just because of what it achieved. It brought so much money into Hollywood, and not only into Hollywood, but into the exhibitors' pockets. That movie made for, you know, exhibitors hardly make any money on movies because movies don't stay long enough to profit for them. Well, Titanic played, I think, in first release, it played like 6 months. So the longer it played, the more money the exhibitors got. That's a movie that every time it's on TV, if I'm channel surfing and I hit on Titanic, I'll say, I'm just going to watch this for 5 minutes, and I wind up watching it.
I know.
Again.
Yeah.
You know? But L.A.
Jack
Confidential.
Draws you in.
Yeah, but L.A. Confidential, man, that's a great movie, too. But probably a more artful film. But, Titanic.
The whole thing, Jack, don't die, Jack, don't die, Jack. Well,
yeah.
Jack dies. Okay. I love you, Tim Sica. It was fantastic. By the way, there's five other ones, which I will run by you. We'll play this game again next week.
We'll do it again next week. Yeah. What celebrities did Heather see?
Oh, you were going to guess.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds?
Yes. One more.
I can't think of the other one.
Think O.J.
Think O.J.
Cuba Gooding Jr., because he's playing him in the TV thing.
Oh, right. Well, good for you.
I'll send you my pictures of them.
Okay, great. Oh, I can't wait to see them.
And by the way, I got to run here, but I'm loving the O.J. Simpson, versus the people.
Series,
Well, I can't wait to see that. That's on my list, of things to see. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Sica. Have a wonderful Super Bowl weekend.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more of the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.